Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Doctors Roundtable, a forum for conversations with Atlanta's leading doctors and thought leaders about cutting-edge trends and topics in health, wellness, and lifestyle issues. Here's our host, Tanya Mack.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a super show today, and it is on the cutting or bleeding edge, I'm not really sure, of a lot of new technology and actually some paradigm shifts in how we think about taking care of ourselves in the future. The topic of the show today is personalized medicine, and specifically we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about how we already today are able to use personalized medicine and genotyping specifically to get more early detection results and also how to get some optimal dosing on some specific things as things goes on. I have two very special guests with me today. I have Dr. Christina Melu, and also Randy Satterley from Iverson Genetics. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Let me tell you a little bit about them. Dr. Melu is the medical science liaison for Iverson Genetics. She got her bachelor's degree from Tufts. She got interested in genetics very early. She told me was always interested in that. She has her PhD from the University of Colorado. And she's also worked at the NIH, and she has over 10 years' experience in human genetics. So welcome.
Thank you.
Quite a background already. You're going to educate us well today. And on my second guest is Randy Satterley, who's on the board of directors of Iverson Genetics. And Randy and I met each other out in California a couple of months ago and heard some very, very fascinating stories and invited her to be a guest. So welcome, Randy. Thrilled to have you here today.
Thank you.
Randy also is a local girl. She's CEO of Van Ran Communications. She's on the board of our Southeast chapter of the American Red Cross. She's a fellow Buckeye sister of mine, and she's also with the Women Presidents Organization. So quite a background you have. Thanks so much for coming. Okay, so we're going to jump right into the topic of personalized medicine. So Dr. Melu, we'll start with you. That's quite an idea that instead of just one size fits all on the drug scenario and also probably therapeutically for different treatments on down the road, that we actually could look at our DNA specific to us and start to customize some treatments and drug therapies just for us. Is that the idea?
Yes, that's the idea. In the past, I think physicians took a broad approach to medicine where they had a reactive approach where you would look at a disease as a whole and try to treat it based on a general approach, but the current medicine is taking a specific genetics and taking people's characteristics such as their height, their weight, their disease process, and putting that together and making a personalized approach to medicine. And I think this will become the standard of care in the future.
Mm-hmm. So all this, the door was really opened, I think, by the genome project and mapping and some of the technology that we've been able to filter down. And when I was doing the research, one of the things I think that has been up to now maybe a barrier was just the cost. But now we're actually getting to the point that we can push some of these technologies at a very affordable cost point and applications down to the consumer. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, very good. Well, let's start with, I know you guys have been thought leaders in this changing thought of managing health and how we handle things and not just I have a symptom or a disease and then give me a pill for that. We'll kind of backtrack a little bit. And I know that one of your board members is Dr. Lee Hood, who's been a pioneer in the field of genetics. And he had this pioneering concept called P4. Can you explain a little bit about P4?
P4 was a vision of Dr. Hood's. We're so proud to have him on our board. He developed the sequencer, which enabled the Genome Project to move forward. So he's a real great addition to the whole modern movement in medicine. And he recently was awarded the Science Award from President Obama. So we're very, very happy to have him included. But he recognized early on that there was a shift in medicine, and it was not to be spent in the last 6 months of the person's life where the bulk of the dollars are spent now. He recognized that we needed to go to the forefront of medicine and really address medicine after a child was born. So he came up with something called P4, and it stands for personalized, which Dr. Melu already discussed, based on your genetics. We also are looking at predictive, knowing what's going to happen in the future, preventative, because there are things you can do to help your health. And finally, participatory. Each and every one of us is responsible for what we're going to be doing in the future. And utilizing this P4 approach really makes a difference. But interestingly, what Tanya had said about us being Buckeye girls, good Ohio State, I kind of chuckled after hearing about what we were doing, and I got an alumni magazine, and sure enough, in the alumni magazine for Ohio State was an article about P4 medicine, and I thought, isn't this wonderful? We're getting the word out there. Mm-hmm. And one thing I wanted to add about personalized medicine is the fact that it is new, and people aren't aware of what's out there. We've been very fortunate. We've had 5 governors now sign proclamations or letters alerting their constituents that this exists and it's something that they need to ask for, that every person out there needs to be aware that if they personalize their medicine, they can have it be better addressing what their healthcare needs are and what they need to do in the future.
Right, and we're going to talk about some of the specific examples that Iverson has developed. But first, I want to go into a little bit about the application of this. Really, we've been talking off-air before we came into the studio here about the numbers of medicines that people are on, and especially with the aging and the baby boomers, we get just stockpiled with things. And I think, Dr. Maylou, you shared a statistic that was quite shocking.
Yes, the statistic is that anyone over the age of 65 is on an average of 21 different medications.
Yes, that is incredible. It's astounding. And then I'd shared some of my experiences about, as a community health nurse, I'd go in and they'd bring out shoe boxes of different medication bottles, different physicians prescribing them, maybe not knowing. And that begs the question then, with all these medications that we're on, one of the leading causes of deaths in the United States, and certainly in hospitalizations too, is adverse drug reactions or drug incidents. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. An adverse drug reaction basically describes harm associated with the use of given medications at a normal dose during normal usage. And so adverse drug reactions go up exponentially when a patient is on 4 or more medications. So you can imagine if the average person of over the age of 65 is on 21 different medications, how complicated that becomes.
Mm-hmm. And just to put some scope to it in my research, just like your statistic of how many each person might be on, I found out that we had over 2 million adverse drug reactions in the United States alone, which is quite astounding, just even given our population, how common that is. So the ability to customize these specific to us and titrate them appropriately and that kind of thing just kind of leads into this idea of how important a big of a problem it is right now. I also read, too, that this we're going to talk specifically about the testing in a minute, but getting some of these tests really gives you the idea of, with your own genotype, then you have a baseline from which we can measure how much do I need, how does it need to be escalated, what is right just for me. So I want to talk just a little bit about the technology of how this works, because I think it's pretty foreign to the consumer. The whole idea of what is a drug metabolizer enzyme, why is that important? If we can isolate that, what does that tell the provider about me personally?
Sure. So as you all know, most drugs are metabolized through the liver, but there are these specialized enzymes in different classes, one of which is called the cytochrome P450 enzymes. And these are responsible for metabolization of over 50% of commonly prescribed medications. So what happens is if you have a variant in one of these different enzymes, it can cause you to metabolize medication differently. So in most individuals, that means they metabolize less than a normal person, and in some cases they can actually metabolize more rapidly than a normal
right.
individual.
So if we think of, we inherit the genes from our parents, one from each parent, the variants then, I could have no variants, I could have one from each parent, I could have two. So depending upon how mine actually line up, that will give clues to the provider about what you need to know for me to respond to therapy or whatever. Is that the idea of it?
That is the idea.
And so the liver is the common denominator that you've started with, because that's where the processing happens.
Right.
Okay. Very, very good. Okay. So I would like to talk specifically, just to kind of, now that we've kind of got the idea of this whole gene variance and what does that have to do with drug metabolizing and me in particular, give some actual examples. So you guys were actually thought leaders and pioneers in warfarin therapy. or Coumadin, as some patients may know it. So, Randy, why don't we talk about that's a big success for Iverson. You're already well down the road with legislation. And fill us in on the beginning and then what has happened and where you're at with that.
Well, this is an exciting story. I met Dean Sproules, who's the CEO and founder of Iverson, approximately 8 years ago. And he shared with me his vision of what we were going to do with these actionable genetic variants and the future of medicine, how we could actually save patients' lives, improve patients' lives, and reduce costs. And one of the first ways that the board elected to move forward on this was through Dean's recommendation of actually utilizing warfarin testing. And we were so successful and lucky in moving forward that CMS authorized us to go ahead and actually conduct a warfarin study. There's over 2 million new prescriptions of warfarin every year, and it's estimated that 4% of the people on warfarin will have very serious reactions, including death. So if I did my math right, that could come up to about 80,000 patients who are in jeopardy. A simple test could determine whether or not your body will metabolize warfarin. If you're a slow metabolizer, it builds up in your body and you can die.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, for the lay public, that warfarin is one of those drugs that has to be titrated. So over the first, especially 90 days, you're trying to get what is the right dose for that person anyway, let alone, and we haven't been able to know what is specific until this time. So when you combine the ability to get your baseline and what are your genotype and your variants, then you can make the adjustments more appropriately, faster to get to that therapeutic level. Is that the idea?
Tanya, you're right on, because what we do is if your doctor tells you or recommends that you go on warfarin or Coumadin, which is really rat poisoning, that you get a test done, and within 24 hours, the results come back. We not only give you what your initial dosage should be, we also give you what your recommended maintenance dosage should be. And I think one of the key things on that is it stabilizes you much more quickly to INR.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the specific test then. This is a blood test. Is it a blood test?
Yes, for the trial. Yes, we're doing a blood test.
Uh-huh. Okay, and then the turnaround time to actually, how long does it take that I actually, the providers would have the data back to know how to dose me?
Within 24 hours.
Okay, and is it a pretty cost-effective test? It sounds like with this kind of technology that it's like a really high-dollar thing.
I'm not sure of the price now, but I do know that Medicare is reimbursing us during the trial.
Okay, and how long has the trial been going on?
A little bit more than a year, I believe. It's almost on a two-year basis that we're moving forward. But the results have been so supportive that we were hoping to finish up earlier than initially anticipated.
Right.
We were going to have about 7,500 patients participate, and we're moving forward rapidly.
Okay, very good. And also, I think the hope with this particular test, as you mentioned, something like 80,000 potential bleeding incidents, if we can avoid those and the hospitalizations associated with those, my research showed that you're taking your number, that adds up to, and including stroke patients, we haven't talked about them, but avoiding stroke incidents as well as serious bleeding events could potentially save CMS over $1 billion. So the numbers are staggering.
The results are pretty startling, and I'd like to share a personal story. The CEO of Iverson, when he was just getting the company off the ground, his mother went in for a knee replacement, and she was put on warfarin because she developed a clot. And unfortunately, she was one of the slow metabolizers, and it cost Medicare in excess of $2 million just to get her back to where she needed to be and save her life. So that's a pretty powerful story right from the get-go.
Okay, very good. Now, there's not just this one, so let's jump into another one. We were also talking off-air about women and hormone replacement therapy. And that is another scenario where it's part art and part science, and it takes sometimes months to get your special little mix that will work for you personally. And I know you've made some breakthroughs in that area. So, Dr. Malou, why don't we start with you and then also Randy on that test and how it's done and if it's available and kind of the idea of that.
Yeah, so we have a test called the EMETAB, which stands for Estrogen Metabolism Breast Cancer Risk Panel. And we developed this technology in collaboration with Vanderbilt University. And it's long been recognized that estrogen metabolites are a primary risk factor for the development of breast cancer. And as a result, some women who choose to go on hormone replacement therapy are more susceptible to developing breast cancer. So what this test does is it looks at your genetic risk factors in three separate genes that are responsible for metabolizing estrogen and combines it with your overall exposure to estrogen over your lifetime and does a combined genotype-phenotype calculation. So it can tell a woman if she's at a greater risk or at a reduced risk of developing breast cancer based on those factors.
Very good. Now, is it pretty widely available, or is this like the warfarin? It's in clinical trials.
This is available to anyone that would like to get the test.
Okay. So, Randy, how are you kind of spreading the word? We talked about getting consumers out there. So now I know we have a lot of hormone replacement women listening to us today. Let's talk about how do they access this.
And I was one of them years ago, and I wish this test had been available back then. We are just getting the word out. We officially launched the test at the Women's President's Organization in Texas a couple of weeks ago, and now we are moving forward with select groups of doctors who are going to be offering it to their patients.
And is it available locally here in Atlanta?
We're just getting it launched off now.
Very good. All right. So today, hopefully, all you patients out there, get the words out to your doctors. Ask them about the estrogen EMATAB panel. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Very, very good. I know also not just in terms of these couple of different examples of how personalized medicine and this genotype, phenotype technology can be used to personalize things. But I know also in the background, you have to kind of organize the data. And I know Iverson has been a leader in terms of the software to organize the data. Randy, do you want to talk a little bit about your physician logic program and some advances you've been able to make in organizing, and what do we do to make better decisions?
Well, I think this is something that we are all addressing, and we had spoken about the genetic variants, the actionable genetic variants in treating people as we move forward. And there was one case of an individual who basically was unable to process and metabolize calcium. And this man had a severe case of osteoporosis. And by identifying this genetic variant, they were able to give him massive doses of calcium, and now the man is fine. And this is something we call a genetic variant, but it's an actionable genetic variant. And what we are doing is we are building an IT healthcare database in Iverson called the Physician's Logic Panel, where we're taking all this information and putting it into a database which will be able to give us data analytics. So physicians in the future will be able to access this database and determine at this particular location with this particular type of ethnicity, the socioeconomic class, other factors, etc., utilizing genetics as the basis, that this is the best recommended course of action for treating a patient proactively.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the beginning of developing clinical guidelines around this once you know, or organizing it so that for populations, kind of like the windows of genetic testing. So once we have all the data in there, we can access it. And then going forward, once we know that baseline for that purpose or those groups of people, as you mentioned, ethnic groups or whatever, we can start to have more effective treatments and drug therapies.
Definitely.
Based on what we know. So we not only have to provide the test, but we have to collect the data and then learn how to apply it across larger populations.
And as you said when we started, Tanya, one size does not fit all. And my reaction to medicine is different than yours and someone else's, et cetera.
Right. I read somewhere, I was researching this, and I found an article title that said, "We finally come to the point where our genes fit." Not like our pants, but our genes. I thought it was very cute. Anyways, so we've talked a little bit about healthcare is so regulatory heavy. We've talked about Medicare and the CMS rules and your trials and all you have to go through to bring things to market. What else do you see out there on the horizon? What are you working on?
Well, I think there's a whole host of opportunities out mm-hmm. there, and we've just really begun to scratch the surface. I think one of the most difficult things is this paradigm shift where we are doing, we're placing the emphasis on healthcare at the start of a person's life, where we're looking at doing testing with umbilical cords as soon as a child is born, where we will be able to map.
Cord blood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've already mm-hmm. been in discussion with several blood banks, cord stem cell banks, and they're very, very interested in what we can do and how we can better address moving forward. We know that there's a major shift in healthcare. We know that Obamacare is just about to come into play and that we don't have the resources we need. But yet if we can go ahead and be proactive and tailor our medical plan based upon what we derive at birth, that we can meet a lot of these objectives in a cost-effective manner.
Mm-hmm. So in general, since we're all getting ready to be better shoppers and we're all looking at getting more involved in our healthcare decisions with some of the changes coming beginning in October and then on into the future, it kind of sounds like, especially in regards to cost containment for both consumers and also from systems, that the ability to titrate and not overuse things, this might be a big important step in, or certainly Obamacare will advance the cause that you're working on, I think.
It was interesting. We talked about adverse drug reactions before, and over $177 billion is spent annually in adverse drug reactions. And when you consider that we have $2.2 trillion spent annually in healthcare costs, this is pretty significant. If we can do these simplistic tests and help reduce costs and improve patient lives, I think we're on our way.
Very good. So one of the things we're doing new on our radio show is we're trying to make it a little more interactive. And today at our table for the listeners, we are also looking at live Twitter feeds as you're listening and feeding things into us. But please send us a question if you have one. One Twitter follower has commented, Randy, and both for you too, Dr. Maylou, that the Supreme Court recently ruled that human genes can't be patented. And so this certainly will, this kind of thought and legislation will affect your industry. Can either one of you speak on that?
Yes, I think this will actually improve our industry because it will allow more competition in the genetic testing market, mm-hmm. and it will allow more research to be done on those genes to help advance disease research.
Mm-hmm. And I think just the fact that we're seeing rulings like this come out and people follow them and they're newsworthy, then they're going to get pushed down to the consumer level too. So I think it kind of is coming full circle. Randy, we also talked not just about these specific tests, but just in general, personal stories that kind of you've had the experience of, and the fact that now there is cost-effective testing for patients. And I know you had some personal stories in the hospital where you had to do some education of the providers as far as, hey, this is what's available, get with the program. Can you speak about one of those stories?
I would love to. It's been thought that most doctors have less than 4 hours of genetic training prior to actually beginning practice. So therefore, a lot of what we're doing is education and awareness to try to make doctors know that these tests are available. Well, one of my friends has a severe problem, and I visited her in the hospital, and she told me she was on 21 different drugs at that point. And the doctor came in, and I said to him, you know, I understand that she's on all these different drugs for pain medication, but yet we can't measure what's going on. Did we ever think about getting her genetically tested? And he advised me, no, that wasn't in the program. And he said, anyway, there weren't companies out there who did that. And I said, yes, there are. And his comment back was, how do you know? And I mentioned that I was on the board of directors for Iverson Diagnostic mm-hmm. Genetics, and that this is one of the things that we were pioneers in bringing forward. So this is an area, again, back to what Christina had said. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal towards the end of last year, and it was the 80-20 rule. And it basically said that most of the healthcare budget for Medicare goes for people who are over 65 and on more, well, obviously over 65, mm-hmm. but on 4 or more prescription drugs. And if we can actually get these people tested, we can find out, are these drugs meaningful for them? Are they doing any good? And Tanya loves my personal stories. There was another one. I just had my mother tested. She's 98 years old. And my mother has fibromyalgia, and she is on Paxil. And it turns out that she's an ultra-fast metabolizer of Paxil. So this was obviously a concern, and we needed to go back and look at her metabolism whether or not this drug was doing her any good. But secondarily, which is kind of interesting, I then went ahead and got myself tested. And I found out that, like mother, like daughter, I have the same pattern. And if I were to go on a drug like this, I would be a fast metabolizer, and it would just go through my system rapidly or give me too much dosage up front initially.
Mm-hmm. So the test in general, some indications. To me, I kind of liken this to like blood typing. I may not be on medication today, but if I have an accident tomorrow, it would be helpful for first responders to know my blood type. So whether I have a medical issue or not, Once I know how I metabolize, then I carry that medical information with me forward, and it can be used at any point, really. Is that correct?
Tanya, you're right on target, and this is one of the questions that was raised at the Women's President's Organization. I am currently not on any prescription drugs, so why should I be tested? Well, about 2 years ago, I was in an automobile accident, and I was taken to the hospital 2 days later, and the symptoms that I was expressing were stroke-like. So they wanted to start me on a whole regimen of stroke parameters. And I was astute enough to know that this genetic testing was available and I could request it. And I often think that people may be in the same sort of situation where they may be in an accident. And having a card that we provide that you can keep in your wallet that will advise any medical personnel, emergency responders, or doctors how you will metabolize drugs will be a great enhancement to providing better care for those who can't even speak
for themselves
at that point.
Sometimes, yeah, that's a good point. Also, too, let me just remind the listeners, since we're doing some new things today, that if you'd like to interact with us for the balance of the show or in the future, you can reach us at hashtag DRT Radio. That's for the Doctors Roundtable. So hashtag DRT Radio will get you connected right into our conversation. So to finish up on that thought, Randy, just indications for the test. I heard you say specifically some positive indications for maybe speeding up knowing this information as opposed to sitting on it would be if you're on more than four meds, so you're having to metabolize a lot of stuff that may affect the ability to benefit from that. Are there other indications?
I think the key thing is, why take a drug if you don't need it, number one. If it's not working for you, why are you subjecting your body to this? Mm-hmm. And if we can better address what's going to work for you, why not do it?
All right. Some other things I kind of gleaned from my research was, one is if you're taking medications and you can't figure out why it's not effective and you keep switching, or you titrate a dose, you just may be not going to benefit from that, or slow metabolizing or something like that. So that might be one potential use for that. Or any unexplained symptoms, or certainly if you're on some kind of medication that is more titration oriented, like the Coumadin or the hormone replacement or anything that's a trial and error to get to a therapeutic level, may be good to know sooner than later what your baseline is.
Well, one of our greatest areas of response has been in the arena of psychiatry, because we've seen people in pain management and psychiatrists very interested in seeing and determining how their patients will metabolize. And Christina can probably expand upon this.
Yeah, so in psychiatry, what often happens is that a patient will come in and say, I'm having these symptoms, and the physician will put them on a medication, but you have to wait several weeks to see if the medication works. So they may come back and say, look, this isn't working for me. Could you put me on something else? Well, what a lot of physicians don't realize is that sometimes certain classes of medications all get metabolized through the same enzyme. So if a physician is choosing, say, three or four medications that all fall in the same pathway, and you happen to be a poor metabolizer in that pathway, you could have these ill effects and not be getting any relief for weeks and maybe months, and that could have a lot of severe consequences. We've heard stories where patients actually became suicidal on antidepressants because they weren't metabolizing the medication properly, but it wasn't because the medication wasn't working for them. It's just they weren't getting any benefit from that medication. Mm-hmm. So by doing this test, you take away that trial and error dosing. You can put them on a medication that will work for them the first time and eliminate that guesswork.
So back to the specific kind of idea of the baseline testing. So for getting to the nuts and bolts of it, is this something that I can just go ask for from my doctor here in Atlanta? I heard about this. I want to know, do you get it from Quest, LabCorp? What do I have to do? Tell me the specifics.
Yes, as a patient, you can go to your doctor and say, I'm interested in this test. And your doctor can go to our website, which is iversongenetics.com, and download a lab requisition form there. They can contact us for more information. You can also contact us when they get the results back on how to interpret those results and what they do with them.
Okay, so and are you engaging physicians? You're available to speak to physicians around Atlanta that are interested in learning more about the tests for their patient populations as they come in and start asking for it. So are you targeting internal medicine, primary care physicians, or?
We see a lot of different specialties interested. Obviously, psychiatry, pain management, cardiology, and internal medicine are our top four. Mm-hmm. But I believe this test is beneficial to anyone that prescribes medication.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea, or can you give us a range on the cost of the test? Or can you speak to, is it covered by insurance? I'm guessing it is a little early for that, but maybe not.
So it is 100% covered by Medicare.
Good news.
And if it's a cash price, it's about $1,250.
Okay. All right. So certainly for your good health and use over and over and over and over again, the information from that.
It is a once-in-a-lifetime test. Mm-hmm. So once you have this test, you have it forever. Like you mentioned, you can carry around. We give out patient wallet cards, so you can carry this and give it to all of your physicians. If one of your physician tests, you can share that with your colleagues and share that with your other physicians.
Okay, very good. I also kind of wanted to go back to you guys being thought of at Iverson as thought leaders. I know that you spoke this year at the Personalized Medicine World Conference, which I thought it was really fascinating that we even had one of those already. But I know you had a very big presence there. How did that work for you? Did anything come out of that?
I think it's just a part of our continuing program of educating and making sure that everyone is aware of what you can ask for and what can be provided moving forward. But Tanya, I did want to add on to one of the comments that you just made about the test. Why wouldn't you do it, first of all, because it's going to help you? But secondly, it's so easy. It's just a buccal swab in your cheek. It takes about 30 seconds. You put it in a test tube, and it's shipped off to our lab in Charleston, and within 24 hours, you have your results. So I just wanted to make sure that the viewers and the doctors knew how easy it was to do this test. And secondly, as Dr. Maylou did say, we are a physician-based operation, so all the results would go back to the doctors, who can then assess what needs to be done in the best manner.
And communicate that to the patient. And then I was also, that prompted me to ask you about hospitals, because your personal story was that you had a patient friend in the hospital. Just because it's a doctor doesn't mean that you can't also in hospital ask for that kind of testing, where a lot of titration happens. So
definitely. And I think the whole approach and why we were even up in Washington a couple months ago meeting with senatorial and congressional staffs saying we need to get the word out. Patients need to know that they have the rights to this sort of medical advancement, because it's going to make their lives better and easier. So that's exactly what we're trying to do, is get the word out there and make sure that everybody's aware.
Okay, very good. Any last thoughts that you guys have for our listeners? We're almost to the end of our time. We've, I think, handled our two or three questions from our Twitter followers here, that you want to drive home a point before we talk specifically about the company, just in terms of personalized medicine and this new kind of testing that's available.
Well, I think personalized medicine is actually going to become the standard of care in the future. I actually hope that our DME extended panel that we've been discussing is something that a baby will get when they're born, so that before you go on any medications,
you will know
mm-hmm. the information. And I hope to expand that into other realms of genetics.
Mm-hmm. And we are so excited, because genetic testing gives us a picture of what's in our future, and we know how to address our future accordingly. And what a great addition to our doctors' advice and wisdom if they have a panel that can help direct them in better addressing what we need as consumers.
Well, it's so appropriate, too, because I think there has been this whole trend in America of, I have a problem, I go to the doctor, I want fixed with a pill or a medicine or something. And so if most of our treatments today, maybe not forever, but they're symptom and disease oriented until we move toward wellness and prevention, if that's where we're kind of living for today, it might at least be helpful to have a tool that we can use to titrate and help us get what's appropriate for us personally. So that I know that personalized medicine with the genetics now gives us a more detailed understanding of how these variabilities between people can be used to get what's just right and perfect for them. So let's finish up by telling the listeners out there a little more about the company, where you're based, kind of where you're going, what you have to do here in Atlanta, how you're getting the word out, and how they might reach you. I know we said the website once already, but let's just kind of revisit that. Randy, do you want to speak about the company first?
Sure. I think the company is just about to burst wide open. We are so blessed. We've worked hard to get to where we are at, and I think the future is just wide open for what we're doing. We recognize that our testing now is just step one as we go to build this Physicians Logic Healthcare IT Panel of the Future, and that this is going to be such a welcome addition to doctors moving forward as they try to find the best medical care based upon a patient's genetics. We have a bunch of additional tests coming out, one of which we're excited about, and I may be pre-announcing, but this is in the arena of MS, where we can actually do a buccal swab and determine whether someone has had an exacerbation in their MS. So these are just some of the areas that we're addressing. We are moving forward, expanding, and it's just an exciting field to be involved with.
Very good. Now, one question I have is, if there are physician listeners out there that would like to contact Iverson directly to find out how they can get information links, do you have a special department? Is there a special provider hotline?
Well, they can go to our website. We have a lot of information on our website, and our website, again, is www.iversongenetics.com. We also have a toll-free number, which is 866-900-0903, that they can call, and the call will be directed to the appropriate person.
The clinical side of the equation.
Yes.
So the consumers can get their questions answered and the providers can get a little more detailed specific. Okay, very good. Well, believe it or not, girls, we're at the end of our time. I appreciate you being here. Time flies when you're having fun. Our primary goal in the program today was just to introduce our physicians out there, our providers out there, and consumers certainly, that personalized medicine is not in the future. It's right here today. There's baseline testing available with your genetic variant information available so that you can get a one-time lifetime test and know where you stand so that you can get a lot easier pathway to your desired clinical outcome, I think. I appreciate you both being here. Dr. Maylou, Randy, you've been great to have. Thank you so much for coming.
And thank you for the opportunity.
Very good.
The Doctor's Roundtable has been a production brought to you by HealthGate and Business Radio X. HealthGate is a groundbreaking website where board-certified doctors and specialists offer savings on out-of-pocket healthcare costs. For more information about HealthGate, please visit www.healthgate.com or call 404-692-5377. We hope you tune in next week, and thank you for listening.